WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked and loaded right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Really hope that you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. I know I did, spending some time with family and friends and eating the turkey and the dressing and the collard greens and the cranberry sauce. I could go on and on and on about how much I ate this this past weekend. I need to hit the gym. I'll tell you that. I may do that right after we hit the air, right? But it was a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday nonetheless. And again, happy holidays to you and yours. We are glad, though, to be back at it here on this Monday, November 30th. We have a lot to get to, folks. Of course, we will talk about Michigan State football as they have booked their ticket to the Big Ten Championship game out in Indianapolis, Indiana, and will be taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll recap how Michigan State got there and sort of play around with the different scenarios that could happen if Michigan State loses or, of course, gets the dub this weekend. So you don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about the MSU men's basketball team. Actually, Tom Izzo is holding his presser right now. Michigan State, they won the Wooden Legacy Championship last night. We'll also dive into breaking news that occurred last night. Kobe Bean Bryant deciding to hang up the sneaks and say, hey, I've had a great career, but I am walking away from the game of basketball. We'll also have that and weekend winners for you. All of that and so much more. Call in 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with MSU football. Connor Cook threw three touchdown passes in his return from a shoulder injury in Michigan State, number five in the college football playoff poll, the latest one, I should say, as of last week, and number six in the Associated Press, wrapped up a spot in the Big Ten championship game with a 55-16 rout of Penn State on Saturday. Michigan State will play in the Big Ten title game for the third time in five seasons. The Spartans kept the Land-Grant Trophy with their most lopsided win in a series with Penn State that started in 1914. We'll have more on that game in just a minute. Don't touch that dial. Brent Forbes scored 18 points, and Deontay Davis had six of his 12 points in a game-ending spurt to help number three Michigan State rally past Providence 77-64 in the championship game of the DirecTV Wooden Legacy on Sunday night. Now, Denzel Valentine added 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists to earn most outstanding player honors in the tourney. And Aaron Harris had 12 points for the Spartans, who are 7-0 now. They beat Boston College by 31 points in their opener and Boise State by 10 on their way to wrapping up the title. Nina Davis scored 30 points, and number 5 Baylor overcame an early 12-point deficit to beat the number 20 MSU women's basketball team 84-76 on Saturday to win the Juquenomo Jam in the Bahamas. Love that name. Now, last season, Baylor found itself down 13 points to Michigan State in the tournament in Orlando at the half before rallying to the victory. Michigan State will host number 22 Louisville on Thursday in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The Spartans learned that they would earn an at-large berth Sunday night, their fifth straight postseason appearance in the MSU women's volleyball 18-year program history. MSU will take on Arkansas State at 8 p.m. Friday night in Seattle as part of the Lexington region. It's the Spartans' eighth berth in Coach Kathy George's 11 seasons. MSU went 18-13 this fall after losing outside hitter Autumn Bailey, an All-American transfer from Marquette, in the first weekend of the season. Congrats to Kathy George and the MSU women's volleyball season. That's great news. All right, on Friday, Jake Smith, the senior quarterback for Ithaca, rushed for three scores and passed for another during a big second half to help top-rank the Ithaca Yellow Jackets to a 27-20 win over Clinton on Friday in the Division VI state championship game at Ford Field. I was actually rocking the mic for the team, 92-1, along with Eric Doc Love. What an atmosphere downtown Detroit. Friday's title for Ithaca marked the fifth in six seasons for the Yellow Jackets, who are 83-1 in that span. 83-1. Wow, and that lone loss, of course, came in last year's state final to Monroe St. Mary Catholic Central. On the other hand, our other local team who participated in the state championship, after taking a 16-6 lead into halftime, third-ranked Bowamo Westphalia was shut out by number two-ranked Ishpeming in the second half and fell 22-16 in the Division VII state championship. Congrats to Ithaca and PW, though, for making it to that point in the year, and congrats to Ithaca for winning the entire enchilada. Can't believe that high school football is now in the books. And speaking of high school football, news coming out of Lansing Catholic. Tony Poljan is back on the market for a college. The Lansing Catholic senior quarterback announced Sunday night on his Twitter account that he is no longer verbally committed to the University of Minnesota. He said, quote, "Thankful for all the coaches that have recruited me. Due to the ever-changing leadership at the University of Minnesota, I am opening my recruitment up and decommitting from the University of Minnesota." No surprise there. And the Detroit Pistons fell to the Brooklyn Nets last night, 87-83. Andre Drummond recorded his league-leading 15th double-double with 20 points and 18 rebounds, but the D fell to 8-9 on the year. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 21 points and 7 rebounds. The Pistons host Houston tonight. And sad news from the NBA. Kobe Bean Bryant, who has helped the Lakers win 5 NBA championships over a 20-year span, he is retiring. How about that? He announced that via the Players Tribune website, writing that, quote, "This season is all I have left to give," end quote. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Tempo. Cook down the sideline. Squeezes it into Burbridge. What a move as he stays on his feet and leaps into the end zone for a touchdown.
But he never gives up on the play. And instead, that zone coverage.
Allen, the senior center, lines up as the ball carrier. Are you kidding me? Touchdown. The blitz. Hackenberg has the ball batted up in the air. Malik McDowell on the carom, and it's a defensive score.
Yeah, this is my story.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. What a story for the MSU football team this year. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, I really hope you had a great holiday weekend, but we are back at it, rocking the mic in your ear with a ton to talk about, folks. Again, what you just heard was, of course, the call on the Big Ten Network, on ESPN, from the Michigan State and Penn State game. Michigan State just a complete romping, a 55-16 romping of the Nittany Lions, propelling Michigan State into the Big Ten Championship game, which will take place this Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 8:17 p.m. kickoff. And, of course, the music you heard was from the new motion picture Creed, starring Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan. You know, and I was telling Isaac this before I started the show. It was a great holiday weekend for me. I ate a lot, a ton, actually. If I had to put a number on the amount of plates I had, I would have to say probably around eight plates over the course of the weekend. When really putting that in perspective, yeah, about eight plates. Coupled with I did work out though. Yesterday I went out and played some basketball with a few of my cousins and my childhood friend Marcel. We went out to Powerhouse Gym out in Novi and had a good time. So I did work a little bit of that off, but I still feel like, I need to hit the gym today, okay? But it was a great weekend. It was a great weekend spending time with my family and friends. I had a chance to see my mom, my grandma, my aunties and uncles who I hadn't seen in a while. And even went out with a few of my friends from college who were in town for the holidays and from Detroit as well. So it was a great time. But one of the highlights for me, other than spending time with family and friends, was going out to the movies. I went out to the movies, Friday night. Friday night, I had broadcasted the Ithaca game early on in that day, and I got off around 8 o'clock because that was a 4 p.m. game. And, you know, I wanted to go check out Creed. I'm a big Rocky fan, huge Rocky fan, actually. I've watched every single Rocky, like, at least 50 times, okay? So when I found out that Creed was coming out, which is a spinoff from the Rocky series, of course, Apollo Creed, who died in, what, Rocky III, if you haven't seen Rocky, which, first off, shame on you, but if I spoiled that, I'm sorry. But Apollo Creed, he's one of Rocky's opponents in the series, and he dies. He's a beloved character, though, throughout the series, and they decided to do a spinoff in which they introduce Creed's son, Apollo Creed's son, Adonis Creed, which is played by, of course, Michael B. Jordan, who got in just ridiculous shape for the movie. He put on a bunch of muscle, and, you know, he did gym workouts, boxing workouts leading up to the movie. But I caught the movie, and I have to say that it may be, and again, as time goes on, and when people, you know, really start to see this movie, when more people start to see this movie, I think they will agree that this may be the best sports movie ever done. I really do believe that Sylvester Stallone was unbelievable. He played, actually, Adonis Creed's trainer, and I really like how they just connected all the Rocky films with the Creed storyline as well. But it was absolutely fantastic. But that was actually music that you just heard from Childish Gambino. He was a part of the soundtrack for that film. But if you have not seen Creed, it will make you laugh, it'll make you cry, you'll feel inspired after seeing it. It is a fantastic film, and in the ending boxing scene is probably the best sporting scene I've ever seen in a motion picture. How they filmed it, I have no idea, but it worked. It worked to perfection. So check out Creed, folks. It was a fantastic holiday, and I hope you guys had a great one out there as well. Before I move on to talk MSU football here, Isaac Constance, my man, 50 grand. How was your holiday, brother?
It was great. Again, I had family come up for it, my brother and my dad, so that was great. Had our first snowball fight as a family, so that was always a good time. And it was great being in the city of Chicago. So much life, so much vibrancy there, where it was just so easy to enjoy, especially when everybody's in the holiday festive spirit. So it was a great weekend, and enjoyed covering the Michigan State-Penn State game on Saturday. Sorry you couldn't be there, but one atmosphere for that. Actually, a great turnout. I have to commend everybody who went out and went to Spartan Stadium, because I have to say, I thought there would be a pretty dismal crowd, if you will, because the weather was not good. The students are still out of town, and guess what? Everybody showed up just about, and Michigan State responded with their first resounding win of the season. So, pretty good weekend for me.
And I got to say, usually, at you know, when it's the final game of the year, and especially if Michigan State, you know, wins that game, the implications it could have had on the year, which it did have on the year. I mean, it propelled them to the Big Ten championship game out in Indianapolis. The crowd's usually gonna be crazy. It usually is like that. I mean, the last game of the season is usually always a big one, and people come out to the fullest to support the Spartans. So let's dive into that, though. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And, again, folks, with that win over Penn State, 55-16 final over the Nittany Lions, Michigan State will now play in the Big Ten title game for the third time in five seasons. Unbelievable stuff. And when you really, you know, break down the ride that Michigan State has had to get here, it's been a rocky one. It hasn't all been, you know, peaches and gumdrops, folks. It has been, you know, at times, you know, when you looked at Michigan State football, you've looked at some games and said, ugh, I don't know how this team is going to survive this season. But Michigan State, looking at that game alone, the offensive line looked dominant, opened up holes for the running back core. The secondary, which has had question marks throughout this season, they made big plays in that game. Special teams seems to be getting better. Connor Cook is getting healthier. We didn't really see any big bombs thrown down the field from Connor Cook that Saturday. But I understand, I was reading some quotes from that game after, and Connor Cook did say that when looking at, you know, his health for the Iowa game, he feels as though it's going to be, quote, night and day compared to what we saw on Saturday and his health leading up to that Iowa game. So he believes that he's going to be tremendously more healthy than he was on Saturday when looking at this game against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. But what D'Antonio has done, folks, I mean, D'Antonio is the first coach in the Big Ten to have five 11-win seasons in the time span of six seasons. That's unbelievable. In the time span of 6 years, he is the first coach in Big Ten history to have five 11-win years. That's remarkable. Of course, D'Antonio, when looking at his track record as of recently, the Spartans have won 37 of their last 41 games. Coach D is now seeking his third Big Ten championship in the ninth in the school's history. So it's so interesting when breaking down what occurred on Saturday, because this is the game. This is the outcome. This is the blowout that Spartan fans have been waiting so eagerly to see. You know, when Michigan State highly favored against opponents like, you know, Purdue, Air Force, even the Western game. I always bring those up because those are games in which Michigan State were expected to go out there and just not even making close and just pad the points on. And we finally saw that. We have been waiting for it for a long time, and we finally saw it from this team. And this, if you're going to have, you know, that type of a margin of victory, this it couldn't have come at a more ideal spot now, because Michigan State they come off a blowout win, and now it's the end of the year. This is when those playoff talks really ramp up. This is when everyone starts throwing around different scenarios on whether or not the Spartans can make the playoff. You want those lasting impressions at the end of the year, because the eye test is so important. So now they go on the road to Indy to play in the Big Ten Championship against an Iowa team that is undefeated at 12-0, against an Iowa team, though, that plays in the Big Ten West, which is certainly the weaker of the two when comparing it to the Big Ten East. Iowa has been criticized all year and questioned all year as to whether or not their schedule and whether or not they've been battle tested and whether or not really they deserve to be in that top four. Whether or not, and when looking at the committee really likes Iowa. And because they play, even though they play in the West, they still play in the Big Ten Conference, which is a Power Five conference, and they held it down. And when comparing Michigan State to Iowa, there are a few interesting dynamics that I'll be picking apart when looking at this game. First off, I think that, you know, C.J. Beathard is a solid quarterback, and he can really, if that secondary does not come to play, he can really burn them.
But I think the Michigan State secondary is kind of in a groove right now, something that we haven't been able to say all year. The past 3 weeks, that secondary has played outstanding. So we'll see how CJ plays. I think he's going to have a solid game. Then you look defensively for Iowa. I mean, Desmond King, you know, the Detroiter, defensive back. I mean, Desmond King has been fantastic this season. And right now, Michigan State and Iowa, they've had four common opponents all season. And one of those common opponents happens to be Nebraska. A game in which, of course, Michigan State lost in a controversial fashion in the waning moments. We all know about that play. And on the other hand, Iowa beat Nebraska. Actually, a 28-20 win for the Hawkeyes over the Cornhuskers. So, you know, I've been asked a question. I was a guest on Current State this morning, and I was asked by Current State host Mark Bayshore. You know, he put me on the spot as to what I believe is going to happen on Saturday. I do believe that Michigan State will win, but it's not going to be easy. I don't think that it's going to be a complete blowout by the Spartans. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. But trends have to continue for Michigan State, have to continue here if they want to pull out the dub. The secondary is going to have to bring it. Connor Cook, Connor Cook looks solid, you know, despite the fact that, you know, he's still recovering, he's still getting healthy. That arm is a day-to-day thing. We did see a fairly accurate Connor Cook on Saturday, and that has to be that has to be a positive sign for Spartan fans out there as well. So the secondary has to play. Michigan State's, you know, on both sides of the line of scrimmage, you know, winning that battle in the trenches is big, and they've been doing that. That offensive line is fantastic. The defensive line, we all know how good they've been all year. How about Malik McDowell, huh, on Saturday? Pretty impressive stuff. But trends must continue if Michigan State wants to pull this out. And, folks, when looking at the entire spectrum of how the playoff is laid out, again, you've got Clemson at numero uno, Alabama at the deuce. At the tray, you've got Oklahoma, and Iowa rounds out the top four right now with Michigan State on the outside looking in. So we know, folks, and I think we can rest assured of this, with Iowa and MSU being 4-5 right now in respective polls, whoever wins this Saturday books their ticket to either Texas or Miami. Point blank, period. Whoever wins this Saturday will be in the college football playoff. Again, Alabama, I think they will handle business this weekend against Florida. You've got Oklahoma sitting there. Now, this is also interesting. What if because Clemson, if anyone has a chance of being knocked off, other than Iowa, who sits at number four right now, if there's anyone out of the top four right now other than Iowa that has a chance of, you know, of being knocked off, it's Clemson in my eyes, because Clemson will play a very, very good North Carolina team, a very dangerous North Carolina team. But let's just say, for kicks and giggles, if North Carolina ends up beating Clemson, then what happens? What shifts will we see? Does North Carolina deserve to be in the college football playoff? There's so many scenarios we could go from here. But Isaac, of course, you were at the game. You were at Spartan Stadium. What did you see from D'Antonio's team and from that win that you liked and didn't like? Well, from a full perspective here.
Yeah, well, I thought that Michigan State overall just put it all together for the first time this season. It seemed to me like the Spartans have always had something missing, whether that's the secondary being hurt and having to rely on freshmen and sophomores to really anchor it. Finally, we see Demetrius Cox back in the safety position with the return of Darian Hicks, and that makes such a difference. We see Cox run back a fumble recovery for 80 yards and a touchdown. That was really a game-changing moment in that game against Penn State. Then we also see Malik McDowell. I think his evolution over the course of the season into one of the Spartans' best linemen. He went in, and we always talked about before the season how much potential this kid has. He's realized a lot of that, and right now he's playing as well as anybody on the entire team. And also, boy, did that choice to play Tyler O'Connor in the Ohio State game pay off or what? Because he held it down, but Cook came back and looked totally fine. His accuracy was, I'm not sure if he's 100% back, but his accuracy looked like it was. He's now the first Spartan quarterback with 10 games of three or more touchdown passes. Just an incredible accomplishment for him. And Michigan State, like I said, they put it all together for the first time this season. It's just about putting the pieces together for the Spartans. And it looks like they've done that. And I think the game against Iowa will really show how far this team's come.
And, you know, there's a few scenarios here. So, you know, I'm getting asked all the time, what are the outcomes? What are the scenarios for Michigan State? Now, I initially had said, okay, at Michigan State, if they falter in this game, they will be in the Rose Bowl. But, you know, when looking at Ohio State sitting, you know, right behind Michigan State right now in respect to polls, MSU, if they lose to Iowa, let's just say, let's throw around a few scenarios here. If they win, we know they're in the college football playoff. I mean, there's no doubting that. But if they lose, MSU, you know, would likely drop behind Ohio State, I think, in the rankings, especially looking at how good Ohio State looked against Michigan. If they lose, you know, even though they did win that game, MSU would stay high enough in the rankings to be assured a spot in one of the other, New Year's Six bowls, the four college football playoff bowls not involved in the semifinals. Now, with the Rose and Sugar, usually, you know, Big 12 versus SEC there, out, that would leave the Peach Bowl on December 31st in Atlanta or the Fiesta Bowl on January 1st in Glendale, Arizona. So I think if Michigan State loses, and I'm seeing that here as well on the Freep.com, Joe Rixworld has broken this down as well. And he's, you know, clear headline says MSU bowl scene, win equals playoff, loss equals Peach or Fiesta. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, again, MSU would stay high enough in the rankings to be assured a spot in one of those other New Year's Six bowls. Again, those are the four college football playoff bowls not involved in the semifinals, with the Rose and Sugar, Big 12 versus SEC out. That would leave the Peach, and that would leave the Fiesta, which, again, Michigan State, I think they would be highly disappointed if they were to play in those two.
Well, now the Spartans have total control of their own destiny.
They do.
When you look at the rankings, it's Iowa right above Michigan State. So if Michigan State defeats Iowa, they leapfrog them into that number four, maybe even number three spot for me, considering the fact that Oklahoma and the Big 12 do not have a championship game, which will hurt them. But I think it is interesting how far this season's progressed from the time when we were talking about really North Carolina now has a chance to make the college football playoff. If the Spartans were to tumble and Clemson was to lose as well, then Notre Dame might sneak into that spot, or, you know, we could see them.
Not Notre Dame, North Carolina. Oh, okay.
North Carolina. No, not right.
Notre Dame's done.
I misspoke, yeah. Mm. After that loss to Stanford, that is it. But then you've got the Stanford-Ohio State dynamic as well. Do you choose a conference championship winner, or do you, with two losses, or do you choose the maybe best non-conference champion that there is in Ohio State? So you have all of these different scenarios that can still be broken down. Personally, I expect nothing too crazy. It looks to me like Alabama will soundly put to bed Florida after Florida got demolished by Florida State. And I think Clemson, North Carolina should not be that close of a game as well. I don't know. I think it'll be close. Really?
Okay. I think the quarterback for North Carolina, Marcus Williams, I think he's fantastic.
He is. And I think it's
going to be a duel between him and Deshaun. I think that both of those quarterbacks are going to go at. I think that North Carolina has a chance in this game, Isaac. And I think, if anything, that's going to be the matchup. And that's going to be the game that, if, let's say, North Carolina beats Clemson, it's going to be interesting to see how the college committee, you know, college football committee evaluates this whole thing, because who goes up to number one now? You know what I mean?
But what is it about Clemson that really deters you from picking them? Is it the close game against South Carolina?
No, I think Clemson will win the game, but it's not going to be easy. I'm just saying, if North Carolina does beat Clemson, though, and they make it interesting here, Clemson, I think you may have to take them out. I think you may have to take them out of the college football playoff. I think you have to highly consider North Carolina for maybe earning a spot in the college football playoff. But then comes the question of the seedings. Who moves up if Clemson does lose? I don't think they will lose, but I would not be surprised if North Carolina did win that game, because I think they are playing. I think you can make an argument right now that North Carolina is playing the best football out of anybody right now.
I don't really believe that. I don't know.
Let's say they lose, though. Let's say Clemson loses. Who's your top four then?
If Clemson loses, my top four, I think North Carolina Man, I am getting those two mixed up all of the sudden today.
It's Monday. It's Monday. Yeah,
exactly. Long weekend. But anyway, so if Clemson goes down, then I think Alabama naturally moves into that number one spot, assuming, which I think we can do, a win and a pretty dominant one against Florida. I think Oklahoma will actually fall behind whoever wins the Big Ten championship game, whether that be Iowa or Michigan State. But then I think we'll see if Clemson goes down, I think we see actually Stanford, if they win, go into the playoff. I think Stanford, even with their two losses, gets the nod. I think they've played one of the toughest schedules in the year. And I think having a week one loss to Northwestern, yeah, that's not a great loss, but it's a decent one. And with that being so early in the season, I don't think it hurts them quite as much. And we've seen that Stanford Oregon game just swing back and forth year after year.
So you wouldn't put North Carolina in the top four?
No, I don't think North Carolina's done enough looking at their strength of schedule.
Knowing how crazy the College Football Committee is, I think they would.
Do you think they deserve it?
If they knock off, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I watched North Carolina against who they play with, NC State.
NC State.
Then before that, Virginia Tech. They killed Duke earlier this season. I think that North Carolina has been so impressive. And if they knock off Clemson, that'll be that big signature win for them. I think the College Football Committee would say, hey, let's have some fun with this. Let's throw them in there.
See,
I think they will.
I don't know. I think they might. I think that's a high likelihood. But at the same time, I just can't see them getting the nod over Stanford, over Ohio State, over anybody else. I think that's a lot of opposition to jump for the Tar Heels.
And then, you know, and another thing, I'm just throwing out different scenarios here, folks, and different arguments. For Oklahoma, and I sat back and thought about this too, Oklahoma is safe. I think Oklahoma, you know, and helps they don't have a conference championship game, right? Oklahoma sitting at that number three spot. I really think that Oklahoma is safe, but Oklahoma's signature wins are against Baylor, TCU, and now Oklahoma State. If you remember all three of those games, they dodged bullets like Neo from the Matrix, seeing as though in all three of those games, they did not have their starting quarterback. TCU didn't have their starting quarterback. Baylor didn't have their starting quarterback. And Oklahoma State didn't have their starting quarterback. So, but I do believe that doesn't take anything for Oklahoma because I just think that they are that good. I don't think it would have mattered. It would have mattered maybe a little bit. It would have been a closer game. But still, I mean, Oklahoma has looked very impressive here. But I've also heard that thrown around as well, and I thought about that as well. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. Mike from Saginaw, our good friend. Mike, how was the holiday, brother?
How was it? Let me ask you this before we get into sports here. What you think about Creed? Did you go see it?
I did. You didn't hear my spiel just now, Mike, on Creed? You didn't hear what I had to say about it?
No, I didn't.
Get out of here. You must have just turned in, and I led my show with that, man.
Oh, Mike, he was drooling before the show talking about this one. Yeah.
I gave like a speech about Creed just now, Mike. Come on, brother.
Man, Creed was good, man.
It was unbelievable. It was the best sports movie I've ever seen in my life. It was that good. Stallone.
It was that good.
Stallone, I think, is going to get an Oscar. I think Michael B. Jordan is going to get considered for one. The writing was brilliant. The storyline was brilliant. I love how they tied in the whole storyline of Creed and paired it with Rocky. The ending scene was the best sports scene I've ever seen in a movie. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I just drooled over that movie for like 5 minutes. Yeah, round of applause, right? Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, Mike.
You know what? Our theater up here in Saginaw, they just redid it. They got big screens. They got these seats. They are so comfortable and everything, man.
I said,
man, it was a good experience just to go see it in there, man.
It made me laugh. It inspired me. It almost made me cry. It almost made me cry. I got to say that. It was that emotional. It was a fantastic cast. The cast,
what?
Tessa Thompson playing his girlfriend was fantastic. Felicia Rashad from The Cosby Show, she was unbelievable. Stallone, Michael B. Jordan. They even had my man from The Wire. I forget his name. I got to look up his name. I think it's Wood Harris. Okay. I think it's Wood Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But he was fantastic, too.
All right, man. Did you watch any of the high school games?
Yes, finals? I was there. I broadcasted the Ithaca and PW game.
All right. Did you see River Rouge? They had a quarterback. He was short by college standards, but he got an arm, man. He was whipping that ball around the field, man. They just couldn't stop the other team. They couldn't stop West Catholic, man. But I was impressed with him.
I didn't see River Rouge. I didn't see the outcome, though. But I will say, Mike, I saw him. I'm trying to look for his name right now because I don't want to get the kid's name wrong. But Detroit King, they played Lowell. Did you catch that game?
Yeah, I watched that on and off, too. Yeah, I watched that.
Lowell completely dominated the game. And then what happens? King storms all the way back, and they win it on a Hail Mary pass to the back left side of the end zone. I just found it. His name is Armani Posey. He's the wide receiver who caught the football. And we were actually in the press box before that game because after that, Ithaca played. And we're waiting, you know, to get in the booth and set up our equipment and whatnot. And Armani Posey and King, they come all the way back. Armani Posey catches just one unbelievable, just sick catch in the end zone. And King wins on a last-second touchdown. It's actually only the second time that the state championship game, a state championship game in high school football, has been decided on the final play in Michigan sports history. The other one was back in 1986. Class C, a 17-yard pass from Charlie Johnson to Steve Mann as Detroit Country Day beat Muskegon Catholic. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Like you said, it's unbelievable. Did you see Notre Dame and Stanford?
I caught a little bit of that game. I was on and off watching that. And, man, Notre Dame, yeah, that's a toughie for them. And I predicted Stanford to win that game, though. I did, but it was a tight one. It got really tight at the end of that game.
What you think about Gus Johnson as announcer? Do he come off he comes off an authentic, yeah, but do he really goes over the top sometimes when you're being excited about stuff happening on the field?
Mike, and I've told Isaac this, Johnson is my favorite announcer in
sports. I need to jump in, too. Yeah, I love Gus Johnson. He should be the idol of every single person aspiring to be an announcer. He makes the game so much more entertaining.
I always say Gus Johnson, Mike, could make a game of chess seem like it's the Super Bowl, all right?
All right. I just want to know, why don't Fox put him on the main NFL coverage, you know?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm just Jack Buck and Troy Aikman. They okay, but I just think Jack Buck, I don't think he's a good announcer. I really do. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Joe Buck puts me to sleep sometimes. I'm not the biggest Joe Buck fan. But yeah, Gus, I can listen to him. And I got an opportunity to meet Gus as a rookie reporter when I was at Channel 6 because Fred Heumann there, he knew Gus, and he introduced me to Gus, and we had a nice chat at halftime during the Big Ten tourney game. Was it like 2012 for Michigan State men's basketball? And he's just the nicest dude in the world. I love him. He's a cool cat.
All right. I was going to tell you this. And I'll move it along in a couple minutes, but you know Wendell Phillips in Chicago Public School League won the state championship, and you know what? They didn't even have your basic NFL, your basic high school stuff, no blocking sleds. I say, what? How are you going to win a state championship if you don't have blocking sleds and stuff like that?
Blocking what?
Blocking sleds? Like those things? The things that linemen push up and down the field.
Oh, that's what they're called. Right. They're called blocking sleds. I had no idea what they're called.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, they just don't have the basic, you know,
basic
the high
equipment.
School. I think every high school has equipment where you can practice how to block and everything. And this school, it's a public school in Chicago, and they won a state championship without that, man. I said, man, that guy must have did some coaching or they had some talented players, and he knew how to mold them into a team.
Well, blocking sleds, I don't think win championships, but I think they help.
it is kind of funny because I think about Ithaca and they players, they don't have no D1. They probably have the quarterback might be D1.
Yeah, Jake Smith now is unbelievable. I mean, he has a lot of Ivy Leagues.
He might be D1, but they don't have no – you ain't never – well, that quarterback, he did go D1, but he wound up falling in and out of school. And the other one, he couldn't get on the field at Central. But, I mean, the quarterback's a D1, but none of the receivers, they play like Division II or they go in the military. And I'm just surprised that a school like that can win all the state championships. I'm not bad-mouthing the Division VI or whatever, but I mean, you look at Martin Luther King and Cass Tech, you know, they got a whole team of D1 players.
Oh, yeah, they
do.
And,
you know, you look and you just look at some of the small schools and even the Catholic schools, like from West Catholic and Grand Rapids or Muskegon Catholic School, they don't produce no Division One type athletes. You know, that's what I'm getting at. You know, guys that can really do athletic, who's so athletic that they can out-talented the guys who just, you know, that can work harder and everything. That's one thing. That's one thing about the modern football is becoming out. It's like basketball now because they are coming down to what size matchup and everything else.
Right.
That's what it is.
I hear you, Mike. All right, Mike, we got to hit our break here. We got to hit our break.
Okay, then.
Call back tomorrow, though.
I will. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, dude. Right. I love Mike. I got to temper Mike sometimes, but Mike, I love his points, man. Mike's the greatest. All right. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We still got a few topics to get to here, which include the MSU men's basketball team winning the Wooden Legacy Tourney out in Cali. They just got back a five-hour flight today. So we'll chat about that. We will also dive into Kobe Bean Bryant retiring. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back. Again, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to chat briefly about MSU, their men's basketball team. We actually had two of our PAs, Shannon Thomas and Ethan Merrill, who held it down, seeing as I was prepping for the for today's show. But Tom Izzo talked to the media today at 12 noon concerning Michigan State winning the Wooden Legacy Championship out in California. Bryn Forbes last night scored 18 points, and Deontay Davis had 6 of his 12 points in a game-ending spurt to help the number 3 Michigan State basketball team rally past Providence, 77-64. Denzel Valentine added 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists to earn most outstanding player honors. And Aaron Harris, he was fantastic last night. He had 12 points for the Spartans. They beat Boston College by 31 points in their opener and Boise State by 10 on their way to wrapping up the title and that win against Boston College. Denzel Valentine had yet another triple-double. The kid is fantastic, Isaac. I love watching Denzel play. His game has certainly matured over the years. He seems to be playing within his means. But last night, to be frank with you, I mean, Denzel Valentine, I mean, he didn't have a great game last night. It was a really close matchup against Providence. And it wasn't until, you know, the final, you know, minutes of that game that Michigan State was able to rally and really, you know, just manhandle that lead. But it was a back-and-forth contest, and I was really impressed with Aaron Harris. I don't know if you caught that game last night, Isaac, but Aaron Harris, man, he was unbelievable. I mean, there was times where Aaron just, you know, would grab the ball and go coast-to-coast for an easy layup. He had his shot working for him as well. Bryn Forbes, we all know that he can shoot the lights out the basketball. He has some big buckets. And also, even, you know, not mentioned there in my spiel there to introduce this topic, but Matt McQuaid hit a big three-pointer. You know, as the game was, you know, was really going back and forth and it was really, you know, it was kind of, you know, kind of a heated contest. Matt McQuaid hit a big three to push Michigan State, you know, momentum wise past Providence. And it was huge. And then he had a breakaway dunk, which I'm not sure if Tom Izzo liked, because Michigan State had the game in the bag and Matt McQuaid had a steal on the break. And usually, you know, you want to be classy and maybe lay it up or dribble it out or something like that. But Matt McQuaid said, skip that. I'm slamming this down. I don't know if Tom Izzo liked that, but I liked it from a fan perspective. I love players who have that eye of the tiger. I'm about to stomp on your throat. We gotcha. And we did see that last night from Matt McQuaid. But fantastic outing for Michigan State. Again, this team is so deep And again, you gotta be excited about this squad because we've mentioned this before, Isaac, about how many weapons are on this team when looking at and evaluating this bench. Denzel Valentine has a bit of an off night, and who steps up? Aaron Harris. You know what I mean? And who else steps up? Bryn Forbes. Deontay Davis came in, had a big rebound in that game in which he goes up, he gets a pass, I believe. Oh, well, actually, I think Aaron Harris missed a three. This is the one other than Matt McQuaid slam and his three-pointer, but this is the other play that really stands out in my mind. Aaron Harris misses a three. Deontay Davis snags the rebound right over the head of the Providence defender. He goes up, misses the layup, then gets the rebound again, and then fights for the layup. It goes up. The layup circles around the rim, and Denzel Valentine comes in and tips it in. Unbelievable how Deontay Davis is so efficient on the boards. His length and his just knack for being around the ball when it comes off a miss is so uncanny. And it's going to be scary as this kid packs on some pounds down low.
Well, Al, I am in two minds right now who I've been more impressed with this season for the Spartans. Because at one hand, you have the freshman for Michigan State coming in, making immediate differences. You see Deontay Davis being not only a force offensively with his rebounding and defensively with blocks, but yesterday you saw him with a few post moves. That's the first time this season I've really seen Deontay Davis get a man on his back, pin him there, and just put in some work and score.
Yeah.
So it was really impressive for me seeing that. Matt McQuaid, we all know he's got ice in his veins. He saw it again last night.
He's tough, so intense, man.
He's tough.
Built for tough, I tell you.
You know, you watch freshmen, sometimes they're a little bit nervous coming out. They don't have the intensity. They're not ready for that step up to college just yet. Matt McQuaid's not like that whatsoever. He's so aggressive. He's fearless cutting into that lane. He's intrepid in every aspect of the game. But I think equally as important for the Spartans, Denzel Valentine. You mentioned he had an off game, but it's important that we quantify what that means. 17 points, six rebounds, and five assists. That's an off game for Denzel Valentine. And yes, he didn't shoot that well, but he was still Mr. Everything for the Spartans. So it's been such an impressive start. And there's a player on Providence as well who deserves a shout-out, and that's Chris Dunn. In the ESPN rankings, if I'm not mistaken, he was number two. We all said, I mean, you and I at least said, when Denzel Valentine was ranked number three on those college player rankings.
Didn't buy it.
It's a little bit too high.
Yeah.
But he sure proved that ranking. He's cemented himself as one of the best players in the nation thus far. But Chris Dunn, also one of the best players in the nation last night, 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. But the Spartans did a good job of preventing him from ever catching fire. If he does that, could have been a totally different tale. And that's because of the defensive improvements of Bryn Forbes, of Tum-Tum Nairn, of Matt McQuaid, of all of those guards' efforts to stop penetration from Chris Dunn. So the Spartans all around, this is such a complete team. It's so promising going forward because this was an undefeated, very talented Providence team.
And we haven't even seen Schilling back. That's the scary part. I mean, when Gavin Schilling comes back to this squad, oh my goodness. And you couple that with Marvin Clark, I mean, really unbelievable stuff. All right, let's hit our second break here. When we come back, we will hit you with weekend winners and chat about a man who I think will go down as a top 10 player of all time, Kobe Bean Bryant, announcing that he is hanging up the sneaks and calling it a career. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Dear basketball, from the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep I gave you my all, from my mind and my body to my spirit and soul. As a six-year-old boy deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one.
And so I ran. I ran up and down every court and every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and hurt, not because challenge called me, but because you called me. I did everything for you because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a six-year-old boy his Laker dream, and I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can take the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds left on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you always, Kobe. Wow. How cool is that? Kobe Bean Bryant delivering the bittersweet news to the basketball world that he will be retiring at the age of 37, doing so on the brainchild that is Derek Jeter on his website, the Players Tribune. I found the poem that Kobe put together, which I just read, to be just, again, the word that comes to mind is the word I just stated, bittersweet, because, I grew up in the 90s. I was born 1990, and my basketball heroes growing up were guys like Tim Duncan and Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Tony Parker, Kevin Garnett. And of course, a part of that era was Kobe Bryant, who I was not a big fan of at first. Didn't really like him. I was a big Pistons fan, and we all know about the storied history between the Lakers and the Pistons. And, Kobe Bryant was, on the Lakers team, and he was a bit snobby when he was younger. I mean, hey, he was a bit snobby throughout his entire career. Let's be honest here. But it wasn't until later on that I realized that snobbiness, that arrogance that he had wasn't arrogance at all. It was just confidence. And, when I fell in love with Jordan after Jordan's career, and my stepdad would tell me about how great MJ was, and I saw airtime and playground and come fly with me, and I really looked at Michael's game, and I looked at Kobe Bryant, and he had everything just about that Mike had competitively. From a competitive standpoint, from even the way that Kobe would move, the way he would chew his gum, the way he would tug on his basketball shorts, the fadeaway, that competitive nature. Kobe Bryant was, and I think will be, the closest thing that we've seen to Michael Jordan since. 6'6", same size, shooting guard, the swag. Everything about Kobe, I mean, you just slap a 2-3 on the back of him and you wouldn't tell the difference, game-wise. And that's when I fell in love with Kobe, because he mimicked my idol. And I started to really look at Kobe for the competitive, just crazy, ridiculous, athletic specimen that he was. And now, him at 37 years old, leaving the game, it's just beyond bittersweet, and I'm certainly going to miss him. And I thought that the poem that he wrote was very well put together. And I'm going to miss Kobe. The game is going to miss him, Isaac.
As I posted on my Facebook, Al, there goes my childhood, pretty much.
Exactly.
Kobe Bryant represents more than anybody else in the league this era, this generation of NBA superstardom, of NBA talent, of NBA game plan. It's really an era of isolation basketball, just about which Kobe Bryant epitomized. Kobe Bryant could take on three defenders, put up a shot in the corner, and have it go in, as he did against the Raptors when he scored 81. Kobe Bryant just represents so much of what is good about the game. The poem was so eloquent, so well written, and, you know, it is bittersweet because I think it's time for him to hang it up. I want his memory to be the best possible it will be in the record books, but at the same time, seeing somebody like that walk away, there's only so much you can say about him.
That's certainly true. The game will certainly miss him. All right, well, we have 5 minutes left in the show, and I know it's going to be tough, but we're going to go 30 seconds per call here. And I actually saw this brother earlier today. He was actually here at KAR working with the radio reading service, and we chatted up a bit, and it's always good seeing his face, and it's even better, you know, getting a chance talking with him. And he's on the line right now. We've got our dear friend Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, my man?
Not too bad, Al. Since you're limiting me to 30 seconds, I'll leave the Kobe Bryant stuff to the wayside.
Okay.
And I'll go to Michigan State, Iowa, and I'm not 100% sure I got the right movie. Is it Rocky III that Mr. T was in?
I believe Rocky IV.
Okay.
Don't ask me.
Yeah, so, I believe Rocky IV. Don't quote me on that, though, Kurt.
Whichever one that Mr. T was in, at one point in time in the pre-fight... are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Yep.
Okay. In the pre-fight stuff in the movie, they ask Mr. T's character, what was it, Clubber Lang or something like
yep,
that?
Yeah, Clubber Lang. And that's actually, I'm looking it up now, Rocky III. Yep, James Clubber Lang.
Okay. So they ask him his prediction for the fight, and what was his prediction?
What was it?
Pain.
that's true.
That's my prediction for Iowa, Michigan State. I predict pain for both teams. They're going to try and beat each other up. And my other prediction is George Perlis is going to sit back and think of Hayden Fry and just go, yeah, this is how you play football. Hat on a hat, no fair dodging.
I love it. And Kirk gave me a preview of what he was going to say on the air earlier today. Kirk, I love it, my man. Thanks a lot for the call, and great seeing you today.
Bye-bye.
All right, and Ray, I know it's going to be tough, Ray, but you got 30 seconds. Ray from Indiana. Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, guys, have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, it was fantastic, Ray. How about you, my man?
Turkey and dressing. I was up in Frankenmuth, and I'll tell you what. A great Thanksgiving, a triple header. The boys got beat in basketball twice. The boys got beat all over the field by the Buckeyes. And then to top it off, the Lion cheating. Tom Brady got beat by the Patriots.
You had a
great
weekend.
Triple header.
Ray had Ray had a fabulous weekend, right?
You better believe it.
Ray, great call. Thanks a lot, Ray.
God bless you, buddy.
Oh, boy. Gotta love it. Ray, do we have that snippet? Do we have that snippet?
Beat the bully.
One more time?
Beat the bully.
Of course, Ray refers to the bullies as who, Isaac?
U of M.
There you go.
So, yeah. Gotta love Ray.
Gotta love. All right, I got a few weekend winners here. The Detroit Lions have won 3 straight. Are you kidding me? And if they went out, they could possibly make the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
They could possibly, if they win out the next 5 weeks, crazy. The Detroit Tigers, have to mention them, probably the biggest move so far in the offseason. They have signed Jordan Zimmerman. According to John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports, the deal is expected to be for 5 years and $110 million. Zimmerman's a fantastic pitcher in the league. That's big. Denzel Valentine is on my list. Tyson Fury knocking out Vladimir Klitschko. I didn't even know that until you sent me a text at the game. Jack Ebling had told you that news, Isaac. Big stuff there. Big news. I'll dive into more of that tomorrow. Also, the MSU football team. That's my weekend winners. Isaac, who's yours?
Weekend winner / loser, Les Miles and the LSU Tigers. No way this should have ever gone this far for a coach who's been there 11 years with an 80% winning percentage, 78% actually. But I'm happy he's coming back. You should have seen me when I heard.
Oh, I bet. And he's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable coach. You got to keep him. All right. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.